for our Gaura Lila meditation. We used to call this program Gaura Lila Katha, but then we changed it into Gaura Lila meditations because we wanted to give the devotees and the listeners an experience of, let us say, a darshan, seeing Lord Chaitanya in his pastimes. And as we will go through the meditation this evening, something very nice will reveal itself to us. I would like to greet all of you wherever you are, all over the world. It is a great honor for me and also an excitement to know that so many of those whom I know and also so many of those whom I do not yet know are viewing this program in the hope to experience something deep. Now let us continue where we ended the last time. In our last meditation, Gaura Lila meditation, we actually heard how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered Jagannath Puri. We heard how it took him a long, long time. The place from where he started, Kamalapur, was only 1.5 hours away from Puri, but he was so moved in transcendental ecstasy that he took 9 hours. Why? Because he did not move like a normal person, one step before the next. No, he paid his obeisances. This is how important it was for him. He approached the holy place by obeisances, not by airplane, not by bicycle, not by car, by obeisances. Do you remember what happened when Mahaprabhu looked just before Puri on top of the temple? He saw the huge flag, and then next to the flag, a boy who had an effulgence like a sapphire, very blue. And this boy with curly hairs and a flashing yellow dhoti moved his hands like this, come, come, come. You understand that the deity of Nachi also has his hand like this. Some think it means he's holding the Govardhan hill, but that would be done with this mudra. He has this mudra, which means, come, my devotee, come, come to my lotus feet. Mahaprabhu immediately responded and he cried out, look, there he is, that beautiful boy on the top of the temple. He has a smiling face and an incomparably gorgeous body made out of nectar. He is holding a flute in his left hand, moving his beautiful fingers in his right, he's calling me towards him. And do you remember how Mahaprabhu, when he entered that temple and looked toward the deity, saw that same boy where we normal Vaishnavas or normal people will see the big feature of Lord Jagannath. He saw Krishna there, and he became so ecstatic that he wanted to embrace him, but on his frantic, hurried rush to the altar, he lost his consciousness. there were gods whose duty it was to protect the deities from religious madness. So they thought, this saintly person has lost it, and they began moving in on him with their sticks raised. Do you remember at that time the court pandit Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya rushed forward? He had watched Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he actually threw himself over the back of Mahaprabhu, indicating to the guards, first you will have to beat me, don't beat him. And the guards immediately jumped back, because this was Sarvabhauma, the high priest and the pandit of the king. Yes, these are all images which come when we think of Mahaprabhu's entering Jagannath Puri. I would like to now give you your first meditation for the evening. Please let the beautiful figure, the beautiful golden body of Lord Chaitanya rise in your heart, where the Lord will drive away all darkness and inauspiciousness, all tension which might be there. I request you to sit tall. You may wish to close your eyes and do a few deep in and out breaths. Then listen. Lord Chaitanya's wide, elongated eyes are like the petals of a lotus flower. His effulgent body glows like millions of moons. There's a dazzling sandalwood tilak on his forehead. His reddish cloth resembles the rising sun, but there is a knot in the cloth. Yes, this is a knot of love. It's the knot which the Lord tied there to always remember his dear devotee Advaitacharya, who wanted to come along with him and who had followed him when he left Shantipur, the residence of Advaita. Mahaprabhu at that time had turned to the Acharya and said, I will carry you with me in the form of this knot. His face is covered with a stream of tears that flows unceasingly in the big bumps of ecstasy erupting all over his body. Wonderful. My dear devotees, Puri embodies the mood of separation, longing, yearning. This is the essence of bhakti, a loving yearning towards the Lord. The thirst carries us not to desperation, carries us to sweetness and soon into the association of Krishna. Mahaprabhu displayed this mood in Puri, and through the door of Puri, the Dwara, we can also enter the land of eternal enchantment, Sri Vrindavan Dham. I request you now to sing a song, a prayer to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so that you will also be blessed with that entry through the Dwara, the gate to the land of enchantment.
Patita Prabhu Nahi Tribhuvane
Kante Trinadhari Bhura
Sing.
Dante Trinodori Gaura Dakitoma Kori esho ama Hridaya mandire
Jadi dayana karile
Daya na kari be patita dekhiya
patita pavana nama ishera
Patita pavana nama kishera lagiya
padechi bhava tufane
Tufane Nahi Kanishtara
Shri Charana Tarani Dane Dase
Nidane Dase Karapara
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dase
Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dase Anudasa
Pratana Karaye Sada
Pratanakaraye sada Narottama dasa Karuna Koro Hina Hina Jane
Osama Patita Prabhu Nayete
Samapatita Prabhu Nahi Tribhuvane
Who can understand the unfathomable characteristics of the Supreme Lord? The same Lord who was sitting on the altar at Jagannath Puri under a huge temple dome was now worshipping him with tears of longing in his eyes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Lord became so much absorbed in the mood of his own worshipper that he forgot all about his own divine personality. I wish to share with you now a pastime of the appearance of Lord Jagannath in Puri and the origin of the Ratha Yatra festival. This is something which is very dear to my own heart. And I must admit to you that talking today about this is something like taking the inside of my heart and opening it. I dare to do this because I feel encouraged by this fourth line of our song, Kripa Kari Esho Ama Hridaya Mandire. Please, Lord, be compassionate upon me and come to reside within the temple of my heart. When Sri Krishna was staying in Dwaraka, he was always remembering Radharani's suffering and his separation. Even while dreaming, Srimati Radharani would cry for Krishna, so much so that stones would melt. Now Krishna, while he was sleeping in Dwaraka, would similarly think of Radha and cry in his dreams, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would identify with these deep moods, loving moods of Radha in her separation from Krishna, and he would sing again and again the song, Krishna, 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 hey. We hear that on his way to South India, he would sing this all the time while walking on the street, and people who saw and heard him left their work on the fields and came running towards him, seeing this tremendous, let us say, display of love. And Mahaprabhu would embrace them, sharing the love of his heart with them, and then they would run into their villages. Loving madmen of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, highly infectious. They would embrace their people in the villages, and they would also start to call out, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Rupa Goswami, who has insights in all these various pastimes of the Lord, also the activities of pastimes in Dwaraka, has written in his work Lalita Madhava about this one particular day where the crying of Krishna in his sleep became so intense that the palace attendants started to be worried. They walked around, they looked for help from the elders of the Yadu dynasty, but no one could help. Krishna piteously cried, Radhe, 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 and fell unconscious. There was nothing that could be done to bring Krishna back to consciousness. This is a problem. When God faints, when the personality who is the great weaver of all of our lives, who maintains with his various energies this entire creation, simply faints, this is a major problem. So as if there was a divine arrangement, Narada, Rishi and Uddhava appeared there, and they saw Krishna lying unconscious. And Narada knew what needed to be done. Both Narada and Uddhava are extremely dear to Krishna. They know everything about him. They can understand from where his condition came as Premi Bhaktas. They had direct access to Krishna's innermost heart, and they knew that like a sleeping volcano who is about to burst open, Krishna was just about to show the world another of his amazing and mysterious leelas that would overflood the world with love, like it hopefully does it now with all of us here relishing this. This is called Radha Viraha Vidura Krishna. Krishna who manifests acute pangs of separation from Radharani. So now Radha and Uddhava were in some anxiety. How could they get Krishna back to consciousness? I mean, for sure. Just then, Balaram also appeared, the brother of Krishna, and the three conferred what was to be done. And finally, they concluded, if Narada Muni would only take his veena and sing songs of Krishna in Vrindavan, at that time, Krishna would wake up because he suffered from not being in Vrindavan, but the songs would carry him there. And he would wake up. Narada said, I agree, but I have one serious apprehension. As soon as Krishna will wake up, he will want to quickly hurry to Vrindavan. He needs a chariot for this. So let us call his chariot driver, Daruka, who readies the chariot just in case. Yes, said Uddhava, you are correct. But there is another reason that needs to be considered here. Imagine Krishna wakes up and he will run out of the palace wanting to immediately go to Vrindavan. And there is a chariot which takes him. What, however, will happen when he comes to Vrindavan? Something very inauspicious will happen, because he will see all the Brajavasis, the residents of Vrindavan, his dearmost devotees, and they will lie on the floor in the acute pangs of separation. And when Krishna sees this agony in his dearest devotees, he will never ever want to leave Vrindavan. He will understand, I must stay with them always. And that will be a problem, because he has come in order to do something in this world. To vinashaya cha, what is it? Paritranaya sadhanam, to protect the devotees, and to annihilate the demonic elements, and also to establish real Dharma. He can't do this if he runs to Vrindavan and plays his flute from morning till evening and herds cows. Also said Uddhava, there's another problem which I see. What is this? Asked Narada Muni and Balaram. He needs a messenger. Yes, said Narada Muni. He needs a messenger who announces his coming. And Narada Muni thought for a while, thought, Uddhava, yes, the Brijvasis need to be forewarned. They need to give him a joyful welcome and not display misery and suffering. You should go there. You are Krishna's very reliable messenger. You just go and tell them Krishna is just now coming. Then they will prepare themselves and welcome him. just watch this loving conversation going on here. Uddhava became very sad and very morose. And he said, I agree, he needs a messenger. But if I go, no one will believe me that he will be coming. I went there when Krishna stayed in Mathura. That was 50 years ago. I came in order to give consolation to Narada Muni and all the other devotees, especially Radharani. And I said, Krishna has given this letter and he is soon coming. But I failed in my mission to console them. My language failed, my mission failed, I failed. The Braj Basis are crying for Krishna day and night. How could I tell them not to cry for Krishna? And here, my dear devotees, my dear friends, and my dear skeptics, we will enter a deeper dimension. When we are feeling longing for our wealth, when we lament because a dear friend has cancelled his friendship, when we are disturbed because we lost maybe our health or our freedom, then we enter into a deep problem, which is at the same time the awakening call. We enter the reality of material life. Everything is changing here. Everything is coming and going. Wealth, health, friendships, life itself is trembling at the nearby death who has already raised his stick and looks at us. So crying here is justified. But what consolations could Uddhava give to the Brajbasis who were crying for Krishna? If someone cries for Krishna, the object of our only love, that one person whom we will never lose if we gain him, then this crying for him should not stop. We should not console someone like we do when someone cries in this world. Oh, is this to be expected that you have to cry because here everything is temporary? No, there when someone cries for Krishna and feels the sweet pain of longing, we should say, cry more, cry more, please cry more. You have finally entered the best place. Don't leave it again. Stay on that place. So Uddhava continued, I cannot tell the Brajbasis not to cry for Krishna. That would be an offense. And there's another thing. I promised them that when I would return and meet Krishna, I would send him immediately to Vrindavan. I returned, I spoke to Krishna, and he said, I will come in one day or two. But he never came. Now no one will believe me. When I come now and say Krishna will come, they will remember, yeah, 50 years ago you said the same thing and 50 years have passed and he has not come. Run, run, run away from from here. They will raise their sticks. You are a liar, Uddhava. You do not even know anything. The milk of your mother is still in your mouth. That's how unexperienced you are. So considering this, Radha und Uddhava turned to Balaram and said, "You are Krishna's older brother. We need a messenger to prepare the bridge passes for Krishna's arrival. You go." Now when Balaram heard this, he began to feel an acute pain. He said, "I went already once. I met the bridge passes. I looked at Vrindavan. I saw how everyone was so sad that they would not even take the cows out. And feeling great compassion, I said, 'I'm Krishna's older brother. Older brothers can command the younger brothers. I will tell him to come to Braj.' And then I went back to Krishna and said, 'Krishna, you have to go.' And Krishna said, 'Yes, in one day or 2 days I will go.' And never went. If I even show my face to Vrindavan, say, giving the same message, how will they react this time?" So, who is the messenger for Krishna? Who is the messenger who will wipe away the tears? Who is the messenger who will prepare us for Krishna's coming? Narada did not know. Uddhava didn't know. Not even Balaram knew. This time, a mysterious woman made her entry. She was the sister of Krishna and Balaram, Subhadra. Subhadra Devi represents a certain energy of conjunction, yoga maya. She brings us in touch with Krishna. Mahamaya, that's the energy which we all suffer from, that illusory form, makes us turn our head away from Krishna. Yoga maya not only makes our head turn towards Krishna, but she carries us to Krishna. Therefore, she is known as the mother of all Vaishnavas. So, Subhadra said, "Every one of you, just relax." And she smiled, a mysterious smile. "I will go. I'm a lady. And ladies are always believed. I will sit on Mother Yashoda's lap, mother of Krishna. I will dry her tears. And then I will say, 'Oh mother, Krishna Balaram have just started the journey from Dwaraka to meet you.' And I will call all the gopis, I will call all the gopas, I will call Nanda Maharaj, and I will tell them, 'He is just now coming. Prepare for his arrival.'" Balaram immediately said, "I approve of this. This is very good, my dear sister. You will go, but you are a lady, and I will protect you on the open road. So I will drive first in my chariot to see that the path is clear, that there is no obstacle, and not by the elements, not by any harmful people, and you will travel swiftly. My dear devotees, dear friends, those of you who have visited large chariot festivals where there are three chariots, always know Balaram's chariot goes first, then comes Subhadra Devi's chariot, and last, so that we are prepared for his arrival, comes Lord Krishna or Jagannath's chariot. Now, meanwhile, back in the bedroom, Narada strummed his veena and then started to sing Braj Prema Kirtan in Krishna's ears. Kirtans which reminded him of the Yamuna, of Gaurvadhan, of his pastimes with his most loving devotees. They reminded him of his taking butter out of the clay pots from the gopis. They reminded him of him taking various disguises as a barber, as a singer, as a foot adjuster, as a snake charmer, just so that he could not be recognized and meet Radharani. All this is known to Narada Muni, and he sang it very, very beautiful, right in the ears of Krishna. Now when Krishna heard this, he immediately came back from his swoon, and he started joyously to take on a form that was bent in three places. All of a sudden, mysteriously from somewhere, his flute appeared in his hand. There was a peacock feather in his head, in his hair. See, in Dwaraka, Krishna is not so artistically shaped, the threefold bending form. No, he's straight, he's like a prince, he's like royalty. He doesn't play his flute. In Krishna's own words, Krishna says, no one can appreciate my flute playing here. So he has put his flute to the side. Nor does he take up a peacock feather from the floor and place it into his hair, a trembling peacock feather. No, he has a metal crown, gold, silver, rubies pressed on his hair. It's not the play for Krishna. In Dwaraka, he's the majestic Krishna who commands a huge army. Krishna, I made a mistake to you. The flute did not yet appear. In fact, Krishna started to look for the flute. Ah, these gopis, he started to say. Again, they have stolen my all and everything. I only have a flute, and this is what the gopis steal from me. Now, as he was running, he saw Narada Muni. What are you doing here? Then he saw Uddhava. Uddhava and Narada, you're typically not in Vrindavan. Where am I? Where am I? And the devotees said, almost in Vrindavan. Just now you're going. Uddhava consoled Krishna. My Lord, we know where your heart is. You immediately want to run to Vrindavan. So we have prepared the chariot, a go-by chariot. It is faster. With great difficulty, Narada and Uddhava started to take Krishna, place about the chariot. Why was the difficulty so great? His mind was in Vrindavan, and he was intoxicated with the Vrajananda, the bliss of Vrindavan. My dear listeners, I had once the opportunity to be in Jagannath Puri with His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj on during a Ratha Yatra festival. And I still remember how difficult it was for the priests to bring Jagannath out of the main gate and onto the chariot. They were swaying to the left side, they were swaying to the right side. I later asked a priest, are you moving? No, we are not moving, we are moved. There's so much ecstasy in this deity, Jagannath, whom we carried and tried to bring on the chariot. And every time we just think, this time, this year, it will not work. Because there is all this ecstasy and all this joy. And a joyful person doesn't move straight. Let us say, a joyfully intoxicated person doesn't move straight. He moves like this. Haribol, I have seen. I will go now a little bit faster. When Baladev and Subhadra entered Vrindavan, they noticed how all the Vrijbasis appeared to be half dead in separation from Krishna. When Balaram saw this, his transcendental body began to transform, and his arms shrank into his body. His feet disappeared. He just remained stunned. The same happened to Subhadra Devi. They were overcome seeing this ecstasy, and they cried profusely. At that time, Radhika had felt something was going on, and she had come with a heart wrenching in pain to Nidavan, that's a forest in Vrindavan, where she was lying down on a bed. The Sakis saw her, Sakis means her friends, girlfriends, saw her condition, and they brought cotton and held it a little bit over the nose to decide if Radharani was still alive or not. And they said to her, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And Lalita Sakhi, not knowing any other medicine to take care that Srimati Radharani would not slip from her swoon into the kingdom of death, she did not know any medicine. She called out, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna is coming. At that moment, there was a clatter of a chariot. The chariot driven by Daruka, where Krishna was on top, approached Vrindavan, and then, as if knowing the ways of transcendence, and came to this Niduvan, and there Krishna, seeing the condition of his beloved Radha, who was almost fainting away, jumped from the chariot with tears in his eyes. And as he jumped, the same phenomena happened to him as had happened earlier to Balaram and Subhadra. His arms moved into his transcendental body, and his eyes became very, very open, and a reddish rim came on his eyes, a rim out of love, this reddish circle. And in the left and right corners of this of his eyes assembled all his, it's called Sudaka, all his compassionate, merciful Shakti. When you see Krishna, and Krishna looks at you in darshan, then from his eyes the substance comes to you. And through his eyes he looked at Radha, and Radha became alive and awakened by his very, very beautiful eyes. It came to consciousness, and then there was eye-to-eye union between Radha and Krishna. This is the secret of Puri. We find here Lord Chaitanya crying for Krishna in the mood of Radha. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And we find similarly Jagannath, Krishna, crying for Radha. Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. My dear devotees, we here in this world have often forgotten Krishna. We have also forgotten the most valuable asset of longing for Krishna. We have forgotten the sweetness which this yearning brings with it, covered by layers, layers, layers of forgetfulness and indifference. This, what is our only chance, this smoldering fire of desire, spiritual desire, is covered over. The mood of yearning, the mood of separation, is like the glowing of a coal that is still alive. And to spark, to fan this spark of Krishna consciousness is done when we hear the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when we hear these pastimes, we should also start to ask ourselves, what do I do with that Krishna-shaped vacuum in my heart, which cannot be filled by anything other than Krishna? I'm now noticing the time factor, and I know that we have now, according to my understanding, 5 more minutes left. I would like to make a few announcements to you. There is a Living Name online course live this Saturday, 3 p.m. Central European Time. In it, it's Sunday, not Saturday. I made a mistake. This is something like bringing the wisdom of chanting the holy name with absorption together. It's a Living Name online course, 3 p.m. Central European Time. That's Sunday. It's, where is it? On Facebook Live. What is it about? Teachings. A lot of practice and instructions to practice on a deeper level, and question and answers. This Living Name online course is something that goes on for 7 weeks, 7 Sundays. Then we will offer a Kirtan experience program for Kirtan enthusiasts. It's an 8-week in-depth course and takes place every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Central European Time. Where? Instagram Live. And what is it? Kirtan, stories, meditations, teachings. And Kirtan, Kirtan, Kirtan. This is a little bit from me, who has just now discovered the internet and what you can do on it. I was blissfully unaware of it. I wouldn't say blissfully, but ignorantly unaware of it. But I can reach out to so many people. Now, I will suggest that we end this program with Kirtan. It will cut at one stage. Now, stay in contact with us on this address, Facebook Live, and you will, or Facebook, and then you will know everything when everything takes place. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day, wherever you are, and let that golden dancer be in your heart.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Hare Hare Hare